Welcome to Invictus Games Radio. I'm PJ Kwong. The Invictus Games Toronto 2017 take place September 23rd to 30th and will harness the power of sport to inspire the recovery of wounded, ill, and injured servicemen and women. This podcast shines a light on the stories of those competing in the games and those surrounding them. Their spirit is unconquered. Today's episode is a bit of something different. I am speaking with a member of Provincial Parliament for Burlington, who also happens to be Ontario's Minister of Tourism, Culture and Sport, the Honourable Eleanor McMahon. McMahon was born and raised in Windsor, Ontario. She spent a lot of time on Parliament Hill as press secretary for Herb Gray, John Turner, and Jean Chrétien, respectively. Her other roles have included Director of Public Affairs at the Canadian Advisory Council on the Status of Women, Vice President at the Canadian Chamber of Commerce, Director of Public Affairs at Petro-Canada, Vice President at United Way Ottawa, and Executive Director of Public Affairs at the Ontario Medical Association, among many more. But today, we're going to focus our attention on the upcoming Invictus Games Toronto 2017. For information online, go to eleanormcmahon.onmpp.ca or follow her at emcmahonmpp on Twitter. Thank you very much, Minister McMahon, for taking the time to speak with me. I know you are busy.
Oh, I'm just so delighted. Not too busy for you, PJ.
Well, I love it when people say that. It's, of course, a total fabrication.
Or
I love
for
it,
yes. Invictus, too.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity to talk about how wonderful this event's going to be.
So tell me where you were and what you thought it meant when we got the Invictus Games.
You know, it's interesting. I inherited this job from Michael Koto, who's the Minister of Children and Youth Services. And prior to my arrival, Michael was in this chair, and he approved Invictus. So, like so many other things that I've done to completion now, I've stood on his shoulders. But I immediately thought of Prince Harry. I immediately thought of how much I admire what he's done. I mean, here's somebody who has certainly tremendous privilege, but he's using his pedestal, his perch, his leadership role to do something that's incredibly meaningful, not just for him, but for people around the world. And I can't help but admire somebody who's chosen to channel his skills and his knowledge and his abilities in such a positive way. And I'm hoping that for the first time in North America, Invictus is going to make a huge difference. Actually, I'm going to correct myself, because I think Invictus was in Florida.
Yes, that's right.
But we're the first Canadian jurisdiction,
yep,
to host the games. And how fitting in our 150th year, and with the legacy of Pan Am that was created as a consequence of our investments in those facilities, we can now once again take on a multi-sport games and really leverage the opportunity. The world is going to be looking in Toronto, and it's such an exciting and very moving opportunity for us. I'm really, really excited about Invictus.
So when we talk about you being the Minister of Tourism, Culture and Sport, what do each of those things mean? Can you define them for me?
It's really interesting. When I inherited the job again, I remember thinking, well, first of all, when the Premier asked me, I was incredibly moved and privileged because to have the opportunity to serve in the largest subnational in the country as a member of the Cabinet is really a privilege. But to be in this role this year during the Sesquicentennial, I was really, really honored by that. And really to have the opportunity to be at the intersection of three very meaningful things for people. When you think about tourism, when you think about culture and sport, you don't always think of this, but I rapidly realized what an economic powerhouse this ministry is. A lot of people wouldn't at first blush think of it as an economic ministry, but it certainly is. You know, when you think about tourism, which is $34 billion to our economy, 4% of our GDP, and over 300,000 jobs, that alone is powerful. When you think about culture, not far behind, about $25 billion, 280,000 jobs, and again, a large cross-section of our GDP. And sport, which through sport Port hosting, which this certainly is. We're hosting a major international games, and we are at the intersection once again of a cultural event because it's so meaningful and it touches people's lives and it's in our DNA in some really important ways. And you think about the sport and you think about tourism again. You know, the New York Times said that Canada was the country to watch in 2017, and we haven't seen the numbers because we're about two-thirds of the way through the year, and I haven't seen the tourism numbers yet, but I'm pretty sure that we're on track to have our best year from a tourism perspective ever, and events like Invictus just serve to remind people why Canada's an amazing place to come. So I know that we are going to do an amazing job, both as a city and a country, hosting these wonderful games, and it's just going to make people want to come here. So the folks who've never been to Canada are going to come here, I'm convinced, and say, wow, we love this place, we want to come back. So again, all three ministries come together often in really interesting ways, and this is just another perfect example of that.
When we talk about sport, as one of your three mm-hmm. divisions, three ministries, is mm-hmm. that right?
Yeah.
Okay. But we're talking specifically about the rehabilitative power of sport as it relates to the Invictus Games. Yeah. Do you have anything to comment about that?
I remember growing up and watching the Olympics. And when I was a kid, I am the youngest of seven children, so very large family.
Your mom was busy.
My mom's a saint.
yeah,
she had four children under the age of five. And then
oh, my goodness.
Rapidly three more. And it's going to be 92 this December. She's my hero in more ways than one. But my parents gave us opportunity to participate in sports as young people. Mom says that it was a great way to build us physically. I was a very bad asthmatic as a child, and my parents wanted me to have that opportunity to really demonstrate that I could do anything. And that's always been their ethos for us as kids. You know, you are what you want and can be, and so try and you can. And so that was absolutely true when it came to sports too. So I felt like I had every opportunity, and I know that while I was never a terribly serious competitive athlete, I did a lot of competitive athletics. I swam, I was on the swim team in university and in high school, and I took competitive dance when I was a young person, and I ran on the track team in high school. So I think, quite frankly, it was as much keeping me busy and out of trouble as it was an athletic pursuit. But I understand now, especially as Minister of Sport, how athleticism, even my brief brush with it as a kid, helped to shape my thinking, helped me to grow socially as a young person. It helped me to understand failure and cope with it and be okay with it. It helped me to work as a team and to work with other young people as part of an endeavor. And so all of those powerful learning lessons can apply throughout our lives, but they're especially important for children. And I know, having met this summer some of our Invictus team members already, I met them, four of them, at a Wounded Warriors cycling event a couple of weeks ago. I was incredibly moved. They came up to me and introduced themselves and said, Minister, we're on the Ontario team and we're cycling. And it was such a neat moment. It reminded me of that healing power of sport. When I talked to each one of them and learned about why, because I wanted to know why they are competing, what Invictus means to them, and what sport has meant in their lives as an opportunity to cope with physical and mental burdens that each of us have. So to answer your question, I guess, I understand both personally and now professionally about what the healing power of sport is. And it's an incredible privilege to see that in action and to now have the opportunity to watch what I know is going to be an incredibly inspiring event. I think we're all going to be touched by Invictus, and that it's as much the athletic prowess and the courage of the athletes who come as it is an opportunity to look at ourselves and to really put things in perspective. That's one of the things I really welcome.
You know, it's very interesting, and you just brought up something that made me pause for a moment, and that is the idea that sport helped you learn about failure. It also helps you learn about success, mm-hmm. sort of in equal measure. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular value in learning about success or failure?
There sure is, I think. Because of the ministry that I'm in, because of the work that I've done prior to being elected, I've referred often to, and not to be glib about it, but I feel that our generation you know, my parents threw me into the deep end often, not in real terms, of course, figuratively, and said,
"You'll get in trouble, Mom, if you do
that." I know, right? but it was literally, you know, you can and go and do this. And so there were moments that I had that were challenging, like all young people. And my parents were there for me. They loved me, of course. But the clear message was, you can do this on your own. Figure it out. And I think that there's strength to be gained by going through difficult moments and realizing that, you know what, I can get through that. That's not a big deal. And even more strength to be gained from, I did it on my own. Look at me. And I think that builds character and courage and strength and ability. And so if you have the opportunity to let your kids have an opportunity to learn, I'm not talking about risky things, of course. I'm talking about, you know, gosh, there's a net. It will be there to catch you if you fall. But guess what? If you can figure this out on your own and learn powerful lessons from both that failure and that success, you benefit in equal measure. Mm-hmm. Because you can turn around and look at yourself and realize that you were responsible for making that happen. It was you that did that. And I think there's lots of powerful lessons in that.
You know, many of the competitors coming to Invictus Games have had their lives change in an instant. And you did too with the death of your husband, OPP Sergeant Greg Stoppard. In what ways do you relate to this rebuilding phase that the ill, wounded, and injured servicemen and women are going through on their way to the Invictus Games?
I guess to me it speaks of a couple things. Losing my husband was a life-changing moment. Mm-hmm. The second thing I'll talk about in a moment is the power of friends and family, or on a very personal note, the three F's, as I like to call them, faith, family, and friends, and how all three of those things help you to cope during life's more challenging moments. And I like to think that the athletes in Invictus who've been through challenges themselves have dug deep somehow, but yet have grown to rely on the support of, you know, the village that surrounds them. There's that saying, it takes a village. And my attitude of gratitude comes from the support that's around me constantly. Losing Greg was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It, in some ways, created a bit of a yardstick because, you know, when I look at other things that are difficult, in extreme circumstances, I will compare it to that and think, okay, I got through that. I can get through anything. And he was my best friend. He was an experienced police officer of 24 years. He was physically fit in every single way. He was incredibly fit. We were training for a triathlon in the coming couple of weekends after he was killed on June the 6th, 2006, and we were training at that time. And of course, because he was a shift worker, he did a lot of training on his own. But he was motivated and understood that sport was healing. He had a very difficult job. Police officers are frontline workers, just like our military personnel, cope with extraordinarily difficult circumstances, most of which the rest of us who watch them with gratitude don't see what they have to deal with. When there's trouble or disarray, they run towards it. We run away from it. And that is what they do. And so as a grateful nation watches our military cope with very difficult circumstances, we now are able to acknowledge in ways that we might have not been able to in years hence. When I think of my dad, for example, who was a veteran of the Second World War, and assuredly, most assuredly, given what he went through, had PTSD. You can't join a war effort at 17, go be away from your family for 7 or 8 years and not come back a changed person. I know, I saw my dad. I know that he coped with those things, but they didn't talk about it then. Now we do. Now we call it post-traumatic stress disorder. Now we have, supports in place and to deal with those kinds of things, to support athletes and support the athletes at Invictus, of course, but to support our veterans. So Greg's death was an opportunity for me to learn everything I had to learn about my own strengths and abilities, but how I could take a moment in time and have the privilege of using the skills that I had to make change as a consequence. And it's what brought me to public life. It's it's what got me here. And so the legacy of that moment is something that I carry with me. So I don't mean to compare myself to Prince Harry, but I guess when I think of the intersection of difficult moments and how you can gain strength from those, I look what he's done. I look at what I was able to do in some ways as opportunities of people who can and they should. I'll say one more thing about my dad, who said to me often, to those who is given much, much is expected. And so if you have the ability to do something important when you've gone through a tragic circumstance, then you should. And I could, and I did, and I'm enormously grateful for that.
We are too, actually. You mentioned your family.
Yes.
Youngest of seven children?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Mom
yes.
and Dad.
Yes.
I want to know, was there ever something that came through town in Windsor when you were a kid? Some kind of event, some kind of something that brought the whole family out there? What do you remember about it, and what made it special?
Oh, gosh. Well, growing up, it was a busy house. And we did things as a family quite regularly because we were always together. We went to Mass every Sunday together. We spent holidays together. My siblings got older and married and left the house, there were fewer of us. We went to Expo 67 together. We piled
we
in
did
a car
too.
And off we went. I have strong memories of that. It's interesting because that was the 100th anniversary, and now I've scant memories, but some of
sure
because I was pretty young then, but now at the 150th to look back. Windsor was hosted a lot of really interesting things, and is at the intersection of some pretty neat opportunities. So Windsor was part of the Underground Railroad, and being as close to Detroit as they were, Windsor welcomed and freed slaves and created opportunities through a network of very courageous people to bring them to freedom. And we used to have something called the Freedom Festival every year, and it morphed into a celebration between our two countries, between Windsor and Detroit, between Canada and the United States. And to this day, it still exists, and it has the largest fireworks in North America, and for a town of Windsor size, that's a big deal. And it was an opportunity to celebrate what getting back to our military, what we all value, which is our freedom and our opportunity to live in a country that values diversity and celebrates it at every opportunity. So going back to my dad, I guess, there was a military parade as part of that every year. My dad and I went down to that every year. I used to go to the, every Remembrance Day I was with my dad up until the year he died, just before he died of cancer, just before he got ill. We went, and honestly, until he was physically unable, he was there every year. So again, these are opportunities for me to remember acts of courage and to rethink and to think about the legacy of my parents, which is pretty powerful.
What do you think about tourism, culture, and sport? What are the things that are embedded in those three areas that enhance the lives of everyday lives of people?
Well, it really was brought home to me this year in an important way with our sesquicentennial as a province. In my own community of Burlington, I attended a few Love My Hood, they were called, celebrations. So we were literally in people's backyards. They hosted a party. The city of Burlington helped them to, with a little bit of a few shekels to put it on. And it brought neighbors together. You know, in an increasingly technological and wired world, we aren't always as close as we should be to our neighbors. And so right at the grassroots level, that was an opportunity for people to really lean over the fence and have a conversation and a meal with their neighbors, and a lot of fun. So I attended a lot of those this summer. Then I attended larger events like the North American Indigenous Games, for example, where we celebrated our Indigenous people, Indigenous culture, and went to the first ever women's lacrosse game in the history of the North American Indigenous Games. Ontario hosted NAG for the first time in its history this year. Again, just like Invictus, the first time that we're hosting an important multi-sport event. And so, again, it's the intersection of those three really interesting sides of our province's economy. The tourism draw is obvious. The culture, again, is inherently about how we see one another and how we tell those stories and how those stories are reflected back. Of course, the sports side of the ministry ranges from multi-sport games like Invictus to attending a soccer game in my community, because Burlington has about 5,000 kids that are registered soccer players.
Wow.
And that's a lot for a community our size. Mm-hmm. But it shows, again, how parents like mine continue to view sport as a really important thing. And I'll say one more thing. I think we like to, in the government here, play a role which supports those local activities, because we know that those local organizations really do powerful things at a grassroots level. They allow parents and coaches to be involved in their community, and they provide people with a vehicle to do that, which is really neat. And they provide kids with an opportunity to be involved. And we know that healthy habits for life is really important, not just culturally, but, you know, for people's health and well-being during the course of their lives. And so all of those things are really neat. So when I think about keeping sport accessible and affordable for people, to me, it's about giving them opportunity to participate in something that's larger than themselves. And as I traveled the province this summer, and we talked about Invictus Games, it really has caught fire with people. People are inspired. And I think we all need to be inspired, don't we?
Yep.
We all need to be inspired. And as a legislator, one of the things that drew me to this role was the opportunity to inspire people. So, and to be inspired by them.
Yeah.
Which is what we're all going to be in a few weeks.
You bet.
Yeah.
So we talk a little bit about the grassroots, which is certainly one aspect of sport. But I want to know, especially with your great track record in the business community, why is hosting the Invictus Games Toronto 2017, why is it a sound business decision?
For a couple of reasons. As I mentioned, it provides an opportunity for Toronto to be on the world stage. And that's always a good thing. Again, you know, as Canadians, we're so self-deprecating, right? We are really, we are proud people, but we are gracious people, tolerant people, and we have a sense of well-being and a desire to look after one another. That's really part of who we are as a country, and it makes living in Canada, living in Ontario, it just, again, it goes back to that attitude of gratitude I talked about earlier. But every time we can shine a light on that unique Canadian cultural identity, it's a tremendous opportunity for us. And so, as a provincial government, we've invested in the Invictus Games, because to host a sporting event of that magnitude, to welcome athletes from around the world and their families, is not only a sound economic decision, but it really does speak to the culture side of my ministry too. When I hear from investors, because Ontario is leads North America in foreign direct investment. Why is that? There's some sound economic reasons for that. There's the underpinning of our strong education sector, and we have a highly educated workforce. But you know what? People like living here, because there's a lot to do, both culturally, sport-wise, and because they know that they can raise their family in a safe, clean environment where they can enjoy sporting activities and where their children can enjoy sporting activities and have access to them. That's really, really important. A final thought. When I look at my own youth advisory committee, last year they did a video project. They came to me, I said, okay, you guys pick a project and come back to me and we'll discuss it. And I'd love to support whatever you pick. So we hashed around a few ideas. And the one that came to the top was, they did a video with our local television company, Cogeco. And Cogeco is a big office in Burlington. They're terrific. And the kids did a video called Home. And they did it because they wanted to talk about what home means. And they wanted to welcome the Syrian refugees to Canada, to Ontario, and to our community. And what was stunning and very moving about it is virtually, well, we're all immigrants to this country unless you're a First Nations person. But every single one of those kids, or virtually every single one, was a new Canadian. And literally, I mean, within the last 5 to 10 years. Born somewhere else, spent their young lives somewhere else, and came to Canada and understood what it was like to be a stranger in a strange place. And, geez, it's really cold here. It's really different from where I grew up. And the language is different, and the customs and the food are different. But one thing that isn't different, and one of the kids told me this, and it stuck with me, is soccer. He played football, is what he called it, in his country. And his parents came to the launch of the video, and he had just been at soccer practice. So he was in his full regalia, and I was talking to him about soccer, and his face just lit up. And his mom took me aside and said, one of the things that has made our transition to Canada easier is getting him involved in sport.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same. He's the same as the other kids. He does the same, he acts the same, and he can be himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds him of what it was like to grow up in Syria at a time when his country was more peaceful than it is today. And so accessing those happy memories came as a consequence of his sport activity, and he can wear a uniform, and he looks the same as the other kids, and he's not different for once. So I think that's a stunning example to me of the power of sport, yet again, to be an equalizer for kids.
And it is actually for the Invictus competitors as well,
yeah.
because they're able to put on a uniform again, represent
yeah.
their countries,
yeah.
and be the same.
That's
you
right.
know, so it, the yeah. the lesson very much translates to what the 550 plus athletes are going to be competing. Okay, this is it's a bit of a tricky question. We are almost sold out in terms of tickets.
Yes.
But if you were able to get a ticket to a sporting event at the Invictus Games Toronto 2017, any ideas what you'd like to see?
Oh gosh, that's hard. That's tricky.
I would go for wheelchair basketball finals, but that's just me.
Okay, at the risk of sounding gratuitous, I have to say, we are on the cusp of developing a para sports strategy here in the Ontario government, and I'm inspired by our para athletes. I had the opportunity to welcome the Women's Wheelchair Basketball Association, a championship, to my home community of Burlington, and I arrived at the competition a few minutes early, not really knowing what to expect because I'd never been to a wheelchair basketball game before. I'd seen it on television, but I'd actually never been to a game. And I was so inspired and blown away by the athleticism. Wow, those women were strong and fast. And they didn't fool around, I'll tell you.
It's serious.
It is serious competition. And of course it's serious because they're just like anybody who competes athletically. They want to do their best and be their best. But it was so inspiring. As someone who's able-bodied, I can't imagine. Anyway, I just was inspired. So at the end of the event, I was standing around talking to some of the athletes, and I asked them if I could get in, if they could get me a chair. There were a few floating around at the sidelines. I said, would you mind bringing one of those over? And I sat in it for a while, and they were teaching me how to turn and how to move in the chair. And boy, oh boy, I said, okay, wait. So not only... I can get out of the chair when we're done here, right? Powerful difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Show me how to maneuver. And, you know, I was just playing around. These women move. First of all, they live in their wheelchairs. Not that wheelchair, of course, because it's different.
Yep.
But many of them are quadriplegics, and they're confined to a wheelchair. So how inspiring. They were lovely and smart and funny, and we just had a blast. But I was stunned by their strength and their athleticism. So I think I may be elbowing you out in line for one of those tickets, because I think that's definitely a sport that I would love. And I got to know a group of wonderful, I spent some time with some wheelchair rugby athletes. That's another sport
that's hardcore.
That's hardcore and very competitive. I mean, of course, right? But wow, are those people tough. And are they fast and strong?
Did you know what it was called before?
No.
Murder ball.
Oh, dear.
True story.
You know, and
it's
funny that you say that.
Intense.
Yeah,
it
is very intense. But I had a chance to talk with them, and a more lovely group of people you'll never meet. Right?
So, last question. You're going to love this one. Any message for all of the competitors coming to Toronto in just a couple of weeks? This podcast is going to air before then. So messages for competitors and friends and family coming to Toronto.
I just want to welcome everyone to Toronto and tell them how honored we are to have them. How, you know, normally if this was another kind of event and I was just welcoming people to Toronto, which I'm honored to do all the time, I might say welcome. But I want to say this, that their being here, that they've already created a powerful legacy for us, that we are going to be left with incredibly powerful memories. We hope that they have equally positive and powerful memories while they're here, but we look forward to the legacy of Invictus and the inspirational and important moments that are going to take place. To all the athletes, I do have to say, I have to put my Ontario hat on and say that I wish all the best to all the athletes, but that I'm rooting in my heart for our athletes from Ontario. And finally, to the athletes, you've already won even before you've come here by your service to our country, to our communities, and to our society, and that we look to you examples of heroic athleticism, but you've already won in our hearts, so thank you.
Minister McMahon, this has been an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Delighted. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Invictus Games Radio. For more information, visit www.invictusgames2017.com.